The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." And because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. I may be somewhat dating myself here, but I recall in the late 70s through the 80s, there was a popular sitcom called The Jeffersons, starring Sherman Helmsley and Isabella Sanford, about a black couple who had once worked for Archie Bunker in All in the Family, had through their laundromat business made their fortune and had moved to the east side of Manhattan and were living the good life in their apartment. It was a comedy, of course, a sitcom. But on one of the more serious episodes, of course still not without its comic moments with Mr. Jefferson, they had to deal with the issue of a branch of the Ku Klux Klan working its way into the apartment complex. And of course the Jeffersons were African. Well, of course, in one particular scene when there's a final confrontation between George Jefferson and the leader of the Klansmen who's standing there with his son, his impressionable son, it became so intense that the Klan leader drops of a heart attack. Now, of course, having already been established early in the episode that George Jefferson had just finished a course in CPR, after a brief struggle with does he want to do this or not, George Jefferson, of course, gives the man CPR and saves his life. And as the paramedics are wheeling the Klan's leader out, he comes to and his son says, "Dad, you had a heart attack. Mr. Jefferson saved your life. He gave you CPR and saved your life." And the man looked at Mr. Jefferson and he said, "This man saved my life?" And he looked at his son and said, "You should have just let me die." We're used to hearing the story of the Good Samaritan. We even give it the title, The Good Samaritan. But if you notice, nowhere in the actual gospel reading does it say Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. And in fact, when we say at the outset that this is the story of the Good Samaritan, we're actually spoiling the story. We've heard of spoilers these days. You know, you might put spoiler alert before we give the title. Because the whole issue of the Samaritan comes later. When we say this is the story of the Good Samaritan, we're anticipating the eventual arrival of the Samaritan. But when we just launch into the story, it's not until later that we hear that the third person was a Samaritan person who came upon the man. Now, there are various ways in which we can hear and listen to these gospel stories. There's the hearing of the story itself, which we know and we enjoy hearing. Hopefully, we tell this story to our children. There's the setting of the gospel being read for the first time. to the community who first heard Luke's gospel and the story of this parable in that context. But then there's also hearing this story with the ears of Jesus' audience to whom he gave this story, and how they perhaps would have received this particular parable. This is the kind of story where at the end of it, no doubt someone would have come up to Jesus and said, Jesus, your reference to the Samaritan I found just was incredibly inappropriate, and I think you should apologize to everyone for that story. It probably was the kind of parable where at the outset a number of families decided, I don't think we want our children to hear the stories of this man anymore. And the reason for that is because in the mind of a Jewish person at this particular time, there was no such thing as a good Samaritan. It's what we would call nowadays an oxymoron. Hopefully we all know what an oxymoron is. It's an adjective that does not adequately describe the noun. For example, a fast turtle, a slow horse. Military intelligence is a favorite of some people these days. Non-practicing Catholic is one of my personal favorites, oxymorons. Good Samaritan. If you recall, in more than one place in the gospel, it reminds you, not necessarily in this context, but in other places, it reminds you that there was a particular loathing that the Jewish people had toward Samaritans. In the Gospel of John, in the story of Jesus with the woman at the well, it points out that this is a Samaritan woman, and then it tells you, parenthetically, recall that Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. There was a real separation between the two, very much ill feelings between the two. I believe in just last week's gospel, a Samaritan town refused to receive Jesus, and immediately two of his disciples said, well, let's call down hellfire from heaven and brimstone to destroy them, whereupon Jesus rebuked them. If you hear through those ears, not only do we have a story of who is the neighbor, but a one that challenges the cultural sensitivities and prejudices of the day. Of course, the first person to come upon the victim is the priest. And perhaps the expectation would be, well, the priest, the holy man of God, he will help him. But when he passes him, well, when you think about it, if the man was dead and the priest touched him, then that would make him ritually unclean, ritually impure. So, yeah, we can understand why the priest wouldn't help him. The Levite, a man of the law, another person who knows the law of God, perhaps even with some of our own knowledge of it these days, he too passes him and they, well, you know, the Levite, he knows the law. For all we know, he'd try and help the guy and then he'd sue him later on and use the law to, you know, take advantage of the person who helps him. So maybe he had the reason. Then Jesus says, but a Samaritan traveler came upon him. And perhaps the first thing, in addition to being irked that a Samaritan is being brought into the story, would be the expectation, well, the Samaritan wouldn't help him. Samaritans are despicable people. And after all, why would a Samaritan help a man who would probably rather die than be helped and be indebted to a Samaritan? But then, contrary to expectations, it's the Samaritan in the story who helps him, who promises to pay whatever difference is left when he returns in terms of the care. And you notice at the very end of the parable when Jesus asks, which of these, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim? You notice the scholar of the law, who, by the way, it said, wished to justify himself, couldn't bring himself to say the Samaritan was the neighbor. Perhaps you could hear him say through somewhat clenched teeth, the one who treated him with mercy. So we've all heard this particular story. It's all a pleasant story. It's very familiar. Hopefully it's one we share. But to Jesus' audience, it would have been one of great scandal, one that people would have considered inappropriate, perhaps one that people wouldn't have wanted their children to hear, because it challenged the prejudices and the current hatreds of that time. How do we allow the gospel to make those same challenges to any one of us as we hear these gospel stories? Who is our neighbor? This asks to a man who tells us to love your enemies as yourself, to be kind to those who mistreat you, to turn the other cheek when one hits you on one. If someone takes your cloak, don't ask for it back. If someone presses you for 1 mile, go 2. In the midst of personal resentment, Jesus tells us to exercise that act of kindness. And here, true to form, he's making the point that everybody, even people we might resent, are to be considered our neighbor. And so we come together on this particular day. Who is our neighbor today? Who might Jesus choose to tell this story about? Who might be the person Jesus says was kind to the man on the road that might challenge our own social sensitivities and prejudices and preconceived notions of others? How might this story be told today in a way that challenges us to apply that basic command that Jesus illustrates in today's gospel? Love your neighbor as yourself.